great visible that you are here this morning. And today, our guest speaker is Reverend Che from Korea. And this is his third of us to be with us. And I know that he's a very popular speaker amongst our young people. And the last time when he preached to us, in fact, all were from the truly blessed and ministered by God's word. And I trust that you will be truly blessed as you pay attention to his message from the scriptures this morning.
It's so great to see you again. It is my third visit, as he has introduced me. It's my third visit to Hope Church, and every time I come, I feel like I'm visiting new church, because every time I come and visit Hope Church, I meet you at different places, these moved buildings. So it's good. When I briefly heard about how Hope Church moved to this new building, I praised God. The story of Hope Church's moving to this place encourages me, because the moving process shows me that when God helps His church, there will be a path faithful to walk no matter what happens. I praise God for what He has done with Hope Church, and I believe God will continue to work with this faithful church. I thank God for giving me opportunity to come and visit Hope Church again, and I also would like to thank Pastor Key, Elder, and Young Adult Fellowship for inviting me again. And when I was here 2 years ago, I told to young people, okay, I'll try to improve my English in the next 2 years. So if I see you in the next 2 years, I'll be better with my better English. But I to them, I'm still the same. So those English-speaking people, sorry that my English is not good enough. I prayed to God to when I preparing this sermon, so we will see what God will do in this service. Today I like to preach the word of God with a sermon title, "Hast Thou Here Any Besides?" God created each one of us different, but and God gave each one of us different talents. So God uses us differently. We are all different. But there is one common mission, same mission that God has given to us. And that mission is soul winning. God created us differently, and God gave each one of us different talents. But all talents are given for soul winning. Evangelism is not just for some special talented Christians. Many Christians think that they can't participate soul winning because they are not talented for evangelism. And here is a question. Salvation belongs to who? Salvation belongs to our God. We can't add anything to make salvation perfect. This is already perfect. Because when Jesus was on the cross, He proclaimed, "It is finished." He didn't say, "Okay, I finished this much, so I left this much, you finished." He didn't say. He said, "It is finished." The salvation we have received is from His death and resurrection, and not from our works or our deeds. If you then, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace we are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Even the faith we have is a gift from God, and not of works, lest any man should boast from it. So if we really believe that salvation is the work of God, it's not from us, but salvation, whole thing is God, fear, then we will be more courageous to spread the gospel to unbelievers. When we go our soul winning, we always because that, what if it doesn't work? What if I'm inadequate? That's right. We are adequate, but we still preach the gospel, go for soul winning. God's soul winning. Evangelism is the work of God. The more we learn deeply about the fact that salvation belongs to God, we will become more courageous for soul winning and evangelism. Soul winning is the mission that God has given to you, every Christian. Doesn't matter whether you are in Korea or Africa or Australia, USA, wherever you are, young and old, no matter who you are, a Christian, this is the mission we have received from God. Evangelism will end when Jesus returns. When today comes back, it will end. Soul winning or evangelism is the mission God has given to us. So I pray that the word of God you hear today ignites your zeal for soul winning or evangelism. In Genesis chapter 11, the story of Abraham starts. And we see that Lot is with Abraham. Abraham is what we are used to. Abraham, that's the name changed from Abraham. So I'll say like interchange 30, but I'm actually talking about Abraham. And we see that Lot is with Abraham from the beginning of the journey to Canaan. Genesis chapter 11 verse 1 says this, and Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Lot, Abraham's nephew, has been with Abraham from the beginning of journey. Now, he didn't join him like in the middle of journey, but Lot was with him new beginning. There is no mention that Lot had met God like Abraham himself. But I believe that Lot knew what God has promised to Abraham. I believe that Abraham would have told Lot everything that he hears, or the promise of everything that he heard from God to Lot. As Lot was with Abraham, he witnessed and experienced how God is leading Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God promised to Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and God bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And verse 4 says, when Abraham heard of him promise, this is how he responded. Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. God had spoken unto Abraham, and Lot went with Abraham. The Bible reveals the name of Lot from the time Abraham begins his journey of faith, and he needs to introduce Lot's name every time Abraham takes important steps. So whenever something happens, whenever Abraham did some important thing, Bible tells us that Lot was with Abraham. As I have just mentioned, Romans 12 tells us that Lot has traveled with Abraham, and who was following God's word. In the beginning of chapter 12, God promised to bless Abraham, and Abraham believed God's words wholeheartedly. So Abraham left without shame, without hesitation, as the Lord had told him. Abraham is the man of faith. But chapter 12 also records the story of Abraham's post-temple failure. I like Old Testament characters because God shows them reveals them to us as a great, great man of faith. Then God also shows their failures, their faults, their misdoings. And this is what happened. Chapter 12 shows he's a great man of faith. And then he also shows Abraham's shameful failure. When Abraham entered into the promised land, he faces famine. This is how life goes. We act in faith without hesitation. We believe God. Then we face famine. What happened to Abraham? So Abraham went down to Egypt to survive, to get food. And when Abraham went into Egypt, he was afraid because the Egyptians would kill him to take his wife away. I always wanted to see how Sarah looked like. Maybe by this time, I think she was like not young. She was kind of old, but still, Abraham thinks that my wife is too pretty. So his Egyptians, they will take her away and kill me. That was his fear. So Abraham introduced his wife as his third. When Pharaoh's officials saw Abraham's wife, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. Fortunately, God intervenes, and Abraham gets his wife back, and they returned to the promised land under the guidance of God's great grace. The Bible tells us that when Abraham was going through all this, who was with him? His wife was with him. Chapter 13, verse 1 says, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and he with a staff and all that he had, and," it says again, "Lot with him." As we see here, chapter Genesis 13 starts with the story that Abraham came back to the place where he should be, and Lot was with him. But then, chapter 13 ends with the story of Abraham and Lot's separation. So 13 starts with telling us the story that they came back together. And then 13 ends with the story of their separation. Chapter 13, verse 2, Lot tells us that Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And verse 5 shows that Lot also, which went with Abraham, the Bible keeps telling us that he is with Abraham. So it says, Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Both of them were very rich. So what have bear difference? Let's look at verses 6 to 9. Let me read it to you. "And the land was not able to them thrive, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite herd dwell then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my men and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Abraham treats Lot very, very generously. And let's see how Lot responded to Abraham's offer. We have read up to verse 9, and let me continue to read to you verses 10 to 13. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well at everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. Lot and they separate themselves from one, themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot, or we dwelled in the cities of the plain. And what he did? Pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and Lot and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Amen. It is very sad that Lot didn't tell Abraham. Hey, uncle, I'm not going to leave you. You told me what God has promised to you. I know what God, my heart, God's plan for you. So wherever you are going, I'm going with you. Hey, I'm ready to reduce my flocks, my wealth, chores, and possessions in order to go and stay with you. But that was not how Lot responded to Abraham. Lot chose a new land to move on. And he chose a land which is like the land of Egypt. Chapter 13 tells us that Lot moved to a land that looked like the land of Egypt. Now, do you remember how, because chapter 13 begins. Now, chapter 13 says that Lot moved away, and also tells us that the place that he moved away, because he went there, the place looked like Egypt. But chapter 13 also tells us what? Chapter 13 verse 1 tells us that Abraham and Lot went up out of Egypt. Chapter 13 begins with the announcement that Abraham and Lot have come back from the land they should not have gone. Chapter 12 clearly shows that Egypt was the place that Abraham should not to eat. When Bible says going down, went down, there's always trouble. So in Bible, when people go to Egypt, it's always going down things. So chapter 12 clearly shows that Egypt was not the was the place that Abraham should not have gone. Lot, who was with Abraham, saw clearly that God would not allow Abraham to stay in Egypt. Despite of Abraham's tremendous mistake, God protected Abraham and Sarah and brought them to the promised land. So, how good would it be if Lot remembered the failure of Abraham, grace of God, when he think about Egypt? So wouldn't it have been so good if Lot, whenever he thinks about Egypt, oh, that was a place we learned the lesson. That wasn't the place we should go. That land was abundant, but that's not the place we depend on. We have to depend on God. I think if Lot could think this way, it would be good for him. But Lot failed to remember what happened when they were in Egypt. It seems like Lot didn't learn any spiritual lessons in Egypt. Lot chose a land which is looked like the land of Egypt. Lot was with Abraham from the beginning of the journey. Therefore, Lot would have known why Abraham began this journey. Even if Lot himself did not hear God's voice like Abraham did, he would have known God's wonderful promise toward Abraham. And Lot witnessed how God protected Abraham in the land of Egypt and all along the way of a journey. But Lot did not depend on God when he had to choose to go. Chapter 13, verse 12 tells us that Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. We came and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then verse 13 says, the men of Sodom were known dead and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Sodom and Gomorrah was known for their wickedness. And I think Lot would have knew that Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked cities. I think Lot did not enter Sodom from the beginning because he knew really good that the men of Sodom were wicked. When one city goes bad, it doesn't happen in one night, right? Okay, there's a city really great, no crime, and no immorality, or nothing bad there. But next day, the city is filled with a sinful thing. No, that doesn't happen. It happens repeatedly. So Lot should have known the Sodom and Gomorrah is a city of sins. Nevertheless, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, where it contains Sodom and Gomorrah. One commentator interpreted the great that the word lifted up means looked with greed. If Abraham had come back from Egypt in recognition of the decrees of God, Lot seems to have been attracted by the splendor of the land of Egypt. Actually, Abraham and Lot became richer, more rich in Egypt because the Pharaoh made mistakes and in apology, they gave them, he was lots of hard materials, so they became rich in Egypt. So whenever Lot think about Egypt, he about like material things, in God's sight, Sodom was very wicked, but Lot liked that place. Actually, Lot had a great opportunity to leave and defeat Sodom. Genesis chapter 14 tells the story of Sodom and Gomorrah being defeated in a great war. When Sodom and Gomorrah are defeated in battle, all their belongings are plundered, and everyone was taken captive. Lot was also prisoners. When Abraham found out that Lot was taken, Abraham went out with 318 men to rescue Lot. It was very dangerous to rescue Lot, but by the grace of God, Abraham succeeded in rescuing Lot. It was a very good opportunity for Lot to return to Abraham. But Lot returned to where? To Sodom. He went back to Sodom. The New Testament tells us about how was Lot's life in Sodom. So Lot really, really liked to live in Sodom, but this is what New Testament tells us about how his life, how was his life in Sodom. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 writes this, and delivered just to Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that all righteous men dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul, tormented his righteous souls from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It is very sad because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Lot's inward man is supposed to be renewed day by day by grace of God. But his righteous soul, Bible says, vexed, tormented day after day. When you get sick, you become aware of that you are getting sick. If Lot's soul, there is tormented, vexed, tormented, I'll use the word tormented, tormented day after day, there must have been some kind of symptoms. When we get sick, symptoms. So when his soul tormented, not one day after day, there must have been some kind of symptoms. What was the about that Lot's soul tormented day after day? What would have been the evidence? Did the sick became poor in Sodom? Because very few people, but I often meet people like in church, when some people get sick, when some people get poor, oh, maybe you did something wrong spiritually. Some people interpret it that way. I don't agree with it. In their view, if we think Lot as in their view, what was the evidence that Lot's soul tormented day after day? Why did Lot become poor in Sodom? Did he lose his honor? Has he lost his health? No, not at all. The Bible tells us that Lot's soul tormented day after day, but when we look at his life, everything was going very well. And I think Lot liked to live there. When Abraham rescued Lot, he went back to Sodom again. It seemed like Lot and his family liked to dwell in Sodom. Lot and his family didn't want to leave the place. Think about what happened to Lot's wife. Genesis chapter 19, verses 24-26. Chapter 19, verses 24-26. Let me read it to you. This is what happened when the judgment came. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah in heavy brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the buildings of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife, Lot's wife, what did she do? Looked back. from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So Sodom's wickedness tormented Lot's righteous soul day after day, but strangely, as you see here, strangely, Lot and wife and his family liked to live there. Chapter 19, verse 1 tells us that Lot sat in the great gate of Sodom. Sitting in the gate is where in the gate is where the elders or principal men sat. It was where justice was administered. Therefore, it is very possible that Lot had a certain influential position in Sodom. That's why he could sit in the city gate. In Sodom, Lot was rich and he earned a position to sit at the gate. He had two daughters, and the daughters have fiancés. They were all in good health. Came and Lot was very kind man. Let's look at chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and watch your street, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street and deal all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, house baked unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the men round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters, which these not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto us men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Do you see how nice Lot is? I know it is very shocking that Lot was going to give his daughters to wicked men of Sodom in order to save Lot's guests. But on the other hand, Lot's desperate efforts to protect his guests are very impressive. Lot was the most wealthy, well-known to the people, had a nice family, and he was a very brave and kind. But Bible says Lot's righteous soul vexed, tormented, not one day, but day after day, because of sinful discernment. When something goes wrong, the symptoms must follow. So what was the symptoms that proved Lot's righteous soul tormented day after day? Where can we find the signs that Lot's soul was tormented? Is healthy, wealthy, well-known, for his mind, very admirable character. It seems everything is good. Where can we find the signs that Lot's soul was tormented? Lot off with his daughters to the wicked men of Sodom to save guests. But the wicked men of Sodom went even worse. They said to Lot, "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them?" And they came near to break the door to come into the house. Then Lot's two guests, the two angels actually, started in to deal with the problem they faced. The angels darkened the wicked man's eyes, and with urgency, angels informed Lot that the Lord had sent them to destroy the city, the place. From this point, that we can see the evidence of how Lot's spirit is getting wounded day by day. Up to verse 10, it shows a life Lot has kindly shown his hospitality to the angels. Lot even was ready to give up on his own life and his daughter's lives to protect two guests. But strangely enough, the act that Lot showed after the words of the angels was very passive. He was a very brave man, but look at him. He is acting passively. The fire alarm is sounded the first night I stayed at the hotel. A fire alarm sounded at 10 p.m., but everyone was evacuated. Although it seemed to be there is no fire at all, everyone took refuge. Lot's reaction to the angel is very strange. Even there, how if fire alarm goes off, if there is no fire, we'll evacuate because we heard the alarm. But the more Lot acted is weird. Lot's reaction to the angels is very strange. Let's look at chapter 19, verses 15 and 16. And when the spring arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered. The man laid up hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought Sodom forth and set him without the city. How did Lot react to the word of God? To bring Lot and his family out from Sodom, the angels had to hold upon Lot's hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hands of God's daughters. Lot heard very clear message that God's judgment is coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He heard it directly from angels' messengers. However, he hesitated to leave the city where he resided. Here we find a serious problem of Lot. In 19 verse 12, angels said to Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son of angels and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? And bring them out of this place." This is what angels said to Lot. Angels were ready to save whosoever Lot brings with him. They were ready. Instead, the angels, they weren't going to ask, okay, did he live right life? Does he have any crime record? You know, he wasn't going to ask. All he asked to Lot was, bring them. Is there anyone who wants to take with you to flee from this judgment? So Lot delivered the message to his family, but other than his family, Lot didn't have anyone else to bring with him. Verse 14 says, "Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get past out of his place, for the Lord will destroy this city." This is the only verse that we can see Lot heard the whole summon to leave the city. And Lot himself was hesitating to leave Sodom. If Lot cared souls in Sodom, then he should straight away go out and tell other people that there will be God's judgment. If Lot heard about souls in Sodom, then without hesitation, he should have gone out to the neighbors and urged people to leave the city. Everywhere, Lot was a very nice man. I believe that Lot was a saved man because in the Bible, Lot is everywhere. Lot regarded as a believer. The Bible regards Lot as a believer. So I believe that he was a saved soul. But sadly, because he didn't live the life Christians should live. I do not know if Lot tried to tell his family about God. They know God. When Lot's future sons-in-law heard the message, they ignored and mocked God's message. They acted as if there is no God who would destroy the sins of the city. They didn't expect any of God's words in their lives. that tells you that Lot had planned to make his daughters marry to unbelievers. Lot was a rich man. He had a good reputation, spirit, and his character is kind enough to risk his life to protect the guests. But he failed to live faithful life as his issue was getting distorted, tormented every day. He also was becoming insensitive to diagnose his spiritual disease. Lot did not have anyone to bring out from Sodom because he has not been praying for any souls. Lot himself message know what to do. This is so sad. When God's message came, the judgment message came, Lot himself didn't know what to do when God's first came upon him. Genesis chapter 19 shows that the angels delivered the message of God's judgment to Lot. But Lot was not the first one to hear God's judgment plan. In chapter 18, Abraham was the first one to know that God's judgment is coming on Sodom. There, God informed Abraham first. Abraham and Lot, both of them heard same message from God, but their read and responses were very different. When Abraham heard God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he interceded, prayed for Lot and the whole city under the judgment day. He's never been to the city, but Abraham prayed with all his strength to save them. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 22 and 32, we can see Abraham's prayer for Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham prayed with all his heart to see if God would change his plan for judgment. Through prayer, Abraham realized that what God is going to do is just and right, so he stopped his prayer. He didn't give up, but he believed God, so that's why he stopped the prayer. Abraham's response to the words of God is very different from Lot's response. Lot, who lived at Sodom, did not pray for the souls there. He didn't pray for anyone in the city. Last year, there was a tragic bus accident in Korea. A fire broke out on a bus on the highway. In that accident, 10 people out of 19 passengers on that bus died. They were burned to death. Other bus driver who watched the terrible disaster, he warned at the scene, said that the passengers in his bus were crying as they were watching the bus on fire. They had to help and save the people, but there was nothing they could do to save people in the burning bus. So they cried. Now, but let's think about Lot. The angels informed Lot that God's judgment will come upon Sodom and Gomorrah. God will destroy it. Somehow now, he does not care about other souls in Sodom and Gomorrah. When Lot was escaping from Sodom, he was, the earth's care was about himself. He was only concerned about his own safety and not others. If we don't feel any moral urgency when we look at the people in a burning bus, then something is very wrong with our hearts. Lot knew that Sodom and Gomorrah did will be destroyed, but all he worried about was his own safety. The angels gave him a chance to bring people out from the judgment, but Lot couldn't visit anyone to bring out. As the Bible says, Lot was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If we look to the Bible, what is man's spiritual condition before get saved? Before we get saved, what was our condition? In Romans chapter 2, Apostle Paul says, we were dead in sins and were by the children of wrath, even as salvation. So, before we get saved, we were dead in spirit. In other words, according to the Bible, those who have not received the salvation people yet are still in the state of dead in sins. And that means they are under God's judgment. If we are really saved in sins and know by biblical truth, It's going to be hard to not have compassion on unsaved soul because we know that they are dead in
sin
and the judgment is coming upon them. If our prayers for soul winning is stopped, if we are not praying for soul winning, then we really need to examine our hearts to see if we are truly saved. We need to check if we are tormented by every sin day after day. Love did not care about other souls and have no interest in spiritual life. If love realized that the salvation he received is given freely by God and not earned, he should have gone to the others to bring them out. Love didn't pray to God to save him from the judgment day, but God found love and brought him out from Sodom with God's irresistible grace. If he really understood how he is exempted from the judgment day, he would have visited his unbeliever neighbors one last time. Or if God saves even a sinner like me, I've been departing from him for a long time, but he found me and said, if he can save me, maybe he can save my neighbors. And would have gone like one more time, one last time. But if I know that I am saved, reflect God's grace, then I can see others that he or she can be saved by God's grace too. Lot didn't go and visit anyone to bring out. That affects his everyday spiritual life. He hasn't been praying for spiritual issues of the city. When Lot delivered God's words to his sons, they thought Lot was joking. It is said that they thought Lot would joke with God's words. Lot was saved by God's grace, but he was barely saved. Look at Lot's life after came out of Sodom. Fear, he still fully focused on earthly life. When the angels told Lot where to flee, he did not listen to angels because Lot wanted to go to the place where the angels told him to go. Instead, he wanted to go to the city of Zoar. In fact, Zoar was a smaller version of Sodom. Lot couldn't find the safety at Zoar, so he moved to a cave with his daughters. At that time, the cave was used as a tomb. So isn't it said, the place for the dead became the refuge for Lot. His spirit was getting weakened day by day and finally settled in a cave, a place for the dead. The story shows Lot's spiritual problem does not end here. Lot's two daughters, concerned that they may not be able to preserve seed with their mother because there is no man to get married. So, they planned that they will lie with their father. They plan to sleep with their father in order to preserve the seed of father. I believe the reason Lot's two daughters could come to Sodom, such a sinful plan, was because they were raised in the city of Sodom. As Lot was greatly influenced by wickedness of the kingdom, his daughters were also influenced by the culture of Sodom. The two daughters saved by God's grace, but they were fully focused on the body, on the earthly living. God saved Lot and his two daughters not according to their deeds, but according to God's amazing grace and love. And they are not depending on God. Lot's two daughters made his father drunk, and they slept with his father. Instead, both have became pregnant. Now, this is a story that I'm having really hard time to read to my children. There are many stories. The name of God doesn't hide our sinful nature. God just reveals everything in the Bible. When Lot's two daughters gave birth, the first born son was Moab, who becomes the father of Moabites. And when the younger one gave birth, the name of the second one was Ben-Ami, Ben-Ami, who becomes the father of Ammonites. As you know, those two tribes are one of the biggest, weakest enemies, Israelites. If a doctor tells you that you have a serious illness,
you must take a diagnosis very seriously. When the Word of God reveals the condition of a human heart, we must take it very seriously as doctors and diagnosis. Last year, September, there was a fire in the five-story building in Seoul, Korea. It was around 4:20 a.m. when the fire started. He called 28-year-old man named An Chi-bum was the first person who came out of the building. As he was getting out, he was at the fire department and reported the situation. And then, surprisingly, he went back to the building to wake up his neighbors. It was around 4 a.m., so everyone was sleeping. So he knocked and rang every doorbell to wake people up. An rang every room's doorbell and shouted, "Get up, get up." His efforts saved everyone in the building. Everyone got out the building safely. But 28-year-old young man could not come out because he inhaled too much toxic gases. He saved everyone by bringing their doorbell, so we call him Righteous Doorbell Man. Lord knew the city will be destroyed soon, but he didn't ring any of his neighbors' doorbells. God saved with God's wonderful, magnificent grace and love. But Lot could not enjoy the abundance of God's grace and love because his right soul spiritually tormented day after day. Sad thing is that Lot didn't realize that he is getting weakened. He's getting weakened spiritually because he was rich, his two daughters, and their daughters were going to get married and in good health. He was honored by the people. So everything's better. He didn't know that his spirit, his soul, tormented day after day. So how do we know that whether we are focusing on earthly things now or we are focusing on heavenly things? What was the evidence that Lot's position tormented day after day? How was his life in Sodom? I'm just keep repeating it. He was rich and healthy. He had a patient to sit on the gate. He had two daughters and also had two sons-in-law. His character was kind and honest, but he didn't have anyone to bring out when Judgment Day was coming. God told Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Anyone else in the city to share who belongs to you? Get them out of here." Lot could deliver God's message only to his family and no one else becoming in the city and in the neighborhood. Lot lived a prosperous life, but it seems like the only spiritual legacy he left was to be the father, of Moab and Ammon. It is shame that he did not return to Abraham when he had chance to go back. I still don't understand why he didn't go back to Abraham when he escaped from Sodom. It is shame that he couldn't give any list of names to God and ask, "Hast thou here any besides? Oh God, I'm glad that you asked me this question. This is a list of souls that I've been praying day of beside today." He didn't have the list. How about us today? How about us today? If God asks us, "Hast thou here any family?" Are we ready to give lists of names that we have been praying for soul winning? If any of your family is not saved yet, is he or she in your prayer? If any of your relatives is not saved yet, is he or she in your prayer? If any of your co-workers and neighbors are not saved yet, are their names in your prayer? Soul winning and evangelism is not easy. We may not be able to go on streets to share the gospel, but we can pray. Sorry that my sermon goes too long. I'll be done in like 10 minutes. In Korea, when I said, "Let's go for soul," people was like, "I'm too old to do that. I'm not educated well. I don't know Bible well." All kinds of excuses come up, but God is not telling us to use Satan. God didn't
tell Lord, you go out and persuade them, and you go and skip David. That wasn't the words of God. All God had asked him was, is there anyone you want to save? I'll save him or her. God names. That's what God asked. And that is what God is asking us. Everyone in here is different, but we all have common mission from God. We are, and that is soul winning. Some of you are rich, some of you are poor. Some of you are in good health, and some of you are not in good health. Some of you are young, and some of you are old. So, I may not be able to do what others can do, but we all can pray for soul winning. We all can start to pray for soul winning now. If we don't have God as of unsaved souls' names to pray for, let's not forget that Lot did not have no name to bring out when Christmas has doubt there, here, any besides. And that was the evidence that his soul tormented day after day. Some people ask to see, what if the soul I pray for does not get saved? My answer is, God never makes mistakes. It is very painful, God, that a soul whom I have been praying for dies without knowing Christ. But there is no resentment or disappointment remains in me because he never makes mistakes. Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, but God destroyed those cities. Did Abraham show any disappointment? No, it was hardened because Abraham knew and believed that God makes no mistakes. King David fasted and prayed with all his chance to save his son, but God took a life of David's son. Then David came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. That is the life of Christians who pray for souls. If the prayer is given by our sorrowful heart, and if the mourning that comes from solely depends on God, there will be no resentment for the result of prayer, like Abraham did. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and will be, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Do you believe this word of God? Do you believe? Do you hear? Can you say amen to these words? Then you should be ready to answer when God asks you, hast thou any home besides? God is asking you and me and Hope Church, hast thou here in your neighborhood, in Adelaide, in your who are any besides? Are you ready to answer to God? I prayed and believe that God will save the souls are praying for, as God has saved with his marvelous, as he got saved a lot with his marvelous grace. Sermon and Zira, and it should be easy, okay, to sing one hymn. Okay, too much time. And let's sing 570. Sing 570. I'll finish. 570.
Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, torn by the tempter, feeling sorrow, he that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, awakened by kindness, doors never broken with pride was sore. Rescued, perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescued, the perishing, duty demands it, strength for the labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently with them, tell them for wonder, a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Amen. Amen. I'm really great. My heart is thankful that God has done what He's done with His church, and not. I don't think the pastor did it actually by himself, but always God used people, church through pastor. So I'll keep praying for him and I pray for you especially. And God, when God asks you, did SB Church has any names? I pray that you all have names of souls to save. Use work with the church to the end. That's my prayer and hope. And let me close with prayer. Heavenly Father, use Trust and Hope Church as a salt in this hopeless world. Use us and Hope Church as light in this dark world. Help God's church to be ready always when Thou ask us, hast Thou here any besides? Have us courageous hearts to spread hope for soul winning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.